going to develop it much, but there is this kind of humorous line here at the end. It says, if you who are wicked know how to give good things to your children, right? Hey, he just called us wicked, you know? All right. But, you know, compared to God, who's very holy, you know, we are by comparison quite wicked in the sense, you know. And so I think we need to let Jesus sort of make his point with a little hyperbole, but remember that all of us fall far, far short of the glory of God. Yeah, he just called us wicked. So today we have some, again, teachings on prayer. We're at that section of Luke's gospel where these questions of prayer come up. And last week, you might remember, we had Martha and Mary. Jesus taught on the need to prioritize prayer. And very often, we don't do that. Now, we see today, they ask explicitly, they say, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And then the Lord gives them what we come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, this wording is a slight difference. We all pretty much have, we all have memorized the Our Father, which is Matthew's version of this prayer. Luke's version has some slight differences, although all the essentials are still there. Now, that's important to note because we've got to be careful. When Jesus says, when you pray, say these exact words, it's not really what's being said or taught to us here. Because if the exact words were what it meant to pray, then certainly Luke and Matthew's versions would be identical, and the Holy Spirit would have made sure that every word was exactly the same. So what we really have here is not just say these exact words, but rather a teaching on what our spiritual life, what are the basic elements of a prayerful and spiritual life. And I would say to you that we see, if we look at this prayer, five basic things that make up for not just prayer, as in the act of praying, but our prayer or our spiritual life. Now, I'll just list them and then we'll look at them, okay? But basically, we are to relate, we are to rejoice, to receive, to request, and to repent. These are the five basic elements of one's spiritual life. First of all, that we're to relate. The text begins here, Father, Father, hallowed be your name. Okay, so Father, Matthew's version, our Father. The Aramaic word behind this is Abba, and Abba is the family term for father, like dad. You know, you can hear it if you go to the, some of you might be going with us to the Holy Land in November, and you know, you hear this right there in the marketplaces and other public areas, you know, some little kid running around saying, Abba, Abba, or even an older son or daughter saying, Abba, Abba. Abba is just the family term. My father died 15 years ago this very day, and when he was alive, I didn't call him Father, I call him Dad. And that's the idea here. This is a sense of, we go and we pray. We're not praying to the deity or to the force or some nameless person, you know, impersonal force. We're praying to our Father who loves us and who created us. And we're crying out, we're saying, Father, Father. We come before him as a son or a daughter who loves him. We say, Abba, Abba, Father. And so this first teaching on prayer is what Jesus says is, go to your Father. And lift up your hands and call on him like a son or a daughter. And let him be as a father to you. And of course, this is a call to intimacy. And now, you say, well, what about Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Yeah, sure. But Jesus is just teaching us here in a general way that we're relating not to impersonal forces or to some pantheon of gods. We're relating to our Father. And nothing delights Jesus more than we would begin to love his Father like he does. I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus was crazy about his Father. He talked about him all the time, all the time. And he died so that through the opening of the veil of his flesh, he could lead us back to the heart of the Father. And so it is, we go, we speak to the Lord tenderly, Father. And we relate to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and to the Holy Spirit, that indwelling third person. It's personal. Relate is the first understanding of prayer. It says, then hallowed be your name. So the next thing is that we should rejoice, rejoice. Praise is to be part of our life. The church builds praise into every day of the year for priests and religious, and we are expected to pray the breviary. And we pray and we praise God with the psalms and other prayers. But for all of us, you know, praise God. Now, sometimes we don't feel like praising God. Maybe there's something that's weighing down on us heavily or something. Well, guess what? Some of you might remember that old expression from way back in the 70s. Uh-oh. Praise the Lord anyhow. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So again, this is, we were made to praise him. Spend some time every day and just thank the Lord. He's been so good to us. He's done so many good things. And even when we didn't think he was doing some good things for us, he was doing good things, because Scripture says that all things work together for good for those who love and trust the Lord. All things. Okay, so we ought to praise him. This is what he is due. We owe him praise and thanksgiving. So our prayer should include relating to God, our Father, who loves us, and we trying to love him. And then we rejoice, we praise the Lord. The next thing is that we receive, and this goes to last week's gospel. It says, your kingdom come. In Matthew's version, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so how is God's will going to be done unless we first know it? And how will we know it if we don't listen? So how do we listen for God's will? Well, paradoxically, one way is through our eyes. We read Scripture. We study it. We cherish it. God is speaking to us in the Scriptures. And so we meditate. We might meditate also on some of the teachings of the faith, or we might look at the lives of the saints and study how, you know, we're rookies, but they were up there on the varsity team. We're just JV, you know, but look at those saints and look at their moves, and we learn and we study. But we're trying to look and to listen to what God is saying to us. Lord, teach me. I need to receive from you your word, your will, so that I know what to do. And so prayer should involve a lot of listening. And you might remember last week that image of Mary of Bethany at the feet of the Lord, listening to him, and how pleasing that was. And Jesus calls it the one thing necessary. So there you have it. So again, we want to relate to our Father who loves us. We want to rejoice by praising him. We want to receive by listening. The next thing we notice is that we want to request. Give us this day our daily bread. Let bread then represent all of our needs. We ought to just, you know, I don't know about you, but I get a lot of people that say, oh, Father, will you pray for me? Pray for this. Pray. I'm like, wow. Sometimes I just got to go. And you've heard me say this before, but Lord, The list, Lord. Sometimes I get those pages from the book in the back, and I just say, Lord, oh my goodness, oh wow. Start reading through some of the requests, you know. Lord, the list. Pray for your needs, and pray for the needs of people you love. Pray for this whole world. Lord, for the sake of your sorrowful passion, have mercy on us. Lord, we need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your love. Oh, Lord, we need your truth. Help us, Lord. Save us. Have mercy on us. Keep us, Lord, by your grace. So we pour out our heart to God and ask his mercy and grace upon this world. I've said this to you before, all these things I've said to you before, but repetition is the mother of studies. But every now and again, we'll turn on the news, and we're like, ah, some people's children, what's going on here? This world's just gone crazy. You know, we go like this, we're all worked up, you know? And, maybe there's a better way. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You know, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, because somebody, I see here in the news, somebody lost their house, their whole town to a wildfire. Mercy, Lord, mercy. I'm concerned about this or that prominent figure in the news who's kind of lost their way. Mercy, Lord, mercy. In places like Nigeria, people are being killed for the faith. Other people are at war. Mercy, Lord, mercy. So as you watch the news or you read about it, it's a time to pray. Just instead of like, this is just terrible, everything, you know. Well, it may well be, but all the more reason to pray. Pray the news. Pray. So we relate to our Father. We rejoice by praising God. We receive from God by listening. We request. And then finally, in this aspect of the Our Father, we repent. It says here again, forgive us our sins, as we too forgive those who have sinned against us, and don't subject us to the final test. So in other words, Lord, first of all, I have sins. I come before you like a blind beggar. You know, I don't even know half my sins. I don't even know how hard it is to live with me. Oh, Lord, mercy, mercy. Have mercy on me for my sins. Sins I know, sins I don't even know. And I'll ask you, Lord, too, also to bring the grace of repentance upon this whole world so that we can repent of our sinfulness and come back to you with all our hearts so that you can bless us. Oh, yes, Lord. And finally, Lord, I and everyone I know, we're all heading to a day of judgment. I ask you, Lord, to get me ready for that day so I can stand before you and receive your blessing. Please, Lord, help me and everyone I know to get to that judgment day. Don't allow the devil to put us to the test that we can't take it. Keep us, Lord, by your grace and assist us in every way. Because, Lord, sin gets to us. It harms us. It wounds us. Mercy, Lord, mercy. So, these elements of the Our Father, there are five of them. You could maybe come up with more if you wanted. Does that mean that every time we go to pray, all five of these have to be done? Not necessarily. Although, if you're looking for a structure for your prayer time, it's not a bad one, right? You just say, I'm going to spend about a half hour praying. I'll do 5 minutes on each of these things. Fine, there you got it, a little outline for prayer. But on the other hand, what I think we want to see is that the Lord is saying, these are elements of your spiritual life, and how are you doing with these? You know? For example, sometimes we forget that we're going to talk to our Father. We're just like, you know, sitting there, you know, just kind of wondering and getting easily distracted. Maybe you can work a little bit on that. Just really be aware that you're in the presence of God who really loves you. He even likes you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Or perhaps we don't rejoice too much. We just mostly complain. Gee, maybe I better work up some of that praise stuff a little bit, huh? Because all I ever do is complain. Maybe I need to say, Lord, it's actually you've been good to me, see? Or again, maybe I can work on intercessory prayer. I mean, you decide. But the point is that this is a structure for our spiritual life. Five things. I believe I have them listed in the bulletin, but if just for one last time, I'm going to go make one more point in this homily, but as far as the Our Father, just for one more time, we relate to our Father. We rejoice in God and praise Him. We receive by listening. We request through intercessory prayer, and we repent. All right. Now, there's one other teaching here on prayer that I'd like to mention. There is this call to be persistent in prayer. And we have this little parable about this guy gets up in the middle of the night, a friend comes, and all of a sudden, I'm supposed to have a meal ready or something in the middle of the night. So he goes and knocks on his neighbor's door to ask to borrow some flour. And the guy says, I don't want to get up. Go on, go away. But finally, the guy gets up, not because of the friendship, but just because, oh, man, this guy doesn't, if I don't give this guy some flour, he's going to just wear me out. I'm not going to get any sleep. So, all right, here's your flour. Bye. Okay. So, if a grouchy neighbor will assist us because of our persistence, how much more so will God the Father who loves us? But he does call us to persevere. Now, this surprises some people because there is one line, I think it's in Matthew 6, where the Lord says, you know, when you pray, you don't need to rattle on like the pagans who think they'll hear just by the sheer multiplication of their words, they'll get a hearing. You know, your Father knows what you need. And so the impression is given, well, just ask once and then just trust God will take care of it. And yet, that misses these other types of parables that say, where God basically says, wear me out a little. Come on, wear me out. Now, we'll talk about why he might say that to us, but there's this parable, there's the other parable we all know pretty well about that, the widow. I demand justice from you against my opponent. She'd go every day to the judge, and he says, go away, old woman. Finally, he says, I will give this woman whatever she wants, because otherwise she's going to wear me out and give me a black eye. I mean, it's funny, first of all. But secondly, there's the idea of wearing God out a little bit. It's this idea that we are to persevere. We shouldn't be superstitious and think that just because we say a certain chain of prayers, we'll just get whatever we want, or just, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, kind of that calling and hauling, or, you know, naming and claiming kind of stuff that sometimes goes on. We don't want to be superstitious, but God does say, look, I want you to wear me out a little. Now, why? Not for his sake. God is not deaf. God does not have a poor memory. God does know what we need even before we ask him. So why? It's for us. It's not for God. Now, many of you here have been parents with younger children, and all of us have been younger children, and you know how it works. You go to the toy store or some other, Mommy, I want this, Daddy, no, I gotta have it. You know, no, put that down. That's how we can be, right? Oh, the latest shiny thing, we want it. How much do you really want it? You know, in 20 minutes, that thing's gonna be up on the shelf, never to be touched again. Are you praying with me? That's how we can sometimes be. And so the Lord kind of says, I need you to persevere because you need to know. Is this something you really need or just something you want in the moment? So clarify your own desires a bit and stay with me in a longer conversation. So as parents, you probably know eventually if the kid keeps persisting on the one thing, you say, well, all right. But we also know how to kind of screen out all this little, I want it, I want it, I want it, kind of in the moment stuff. But again, it's not about God, it's about us. You know, there's this very funny, you know, first reading, and some of you saw me having a good time while you were reading, you know, 20, 40, 45, 30, anyway, you keep all the numbering. It's a very Middle Eastern kind of thing, you know. If you've ever been to, like, the Holy Land or someplace in the Middle East, in the marketplaces, there's haggling about everything. All this, you know, going back and forth about the price and all this kind of stuff. I remember one time I was in the market. I think it was in Bethlehem. But anyway, somebody came running up to me and threw a necklace around my arm. And he says, this is for you, buy this for your wife. I said, I'm not married, I am a priest. He said, well, you will buy it then for your mother. I said, well, my mother's passed on. He said, no, then buy it for somebody, but you will buy this. I said, I don't want it. He said, no, give me a price. Tell me the price. What do I know? I couldn't even remember the exchange rate. So I said, well, I don't know, what about 3 shekels? La, 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 la. Sand. My mother made this with her whole hands, with her own hands, and you will only pay me 3 shekels? I am shocked. I am dishonored. Just take it. And he walks. And, of course, that's all part of a longer negotiation. He's coming right back. He's not going anywhere. And on and on. But this is that haggling and that kind of, you know, the price. And so I love it because, you know, this is so familiar. And it's such a beautiful image in a way of Abram just kind of haggling with God. How about 40? How about 35? How about 30? Don't get too upset. How about 20? You know, all right. We don't do a lot of haggling in our culture, except when you try to buy a used car or something. I don't know. But it's humorous, but it's also tender. And, you know, God says, look, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, they've been messing around, a lot of injustice there, a lot of homosexual activity, unrepented, all these things. I'm going to deal with them. And Abram is negotiating because he knows his nephew Lot and his family are there in the city of Sodom. Now, they shouldn't be there, but there they are. And so Abram is trying to get them spared, and he does. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, it's an image for prayer. God is, in a way, saying, wear me out a little. Stay in a longer conversation with me. It's important to me that you pray, that you ask, but don't be like a kid in a candy shop or a toy store. And the latest shiny thing, you just want it because it's there. Do you really want it? How can I really bless you? What's really important? What's really going on in your life? What are the deeper things that you know you need? So again, he asked us then to persevere and persist in prayer for ourselves to kind of clarify. A lot of stuff we think we need, we just want it, but we don't really need it. And it just gets in the way. And so God says, let's stay in a longer conversation. At his heart, prayer is paying attention to God. So today, the Lord gave us some teachings on prayer. He gave us this Our Father with its five, if you will, structures, but also a teaching on the need to persist in prayer. And just to maybe put a bow on it, he gave us this image. It says, ask and you'll be answered. Seek, you'll find, and knock and the door will be open. Now, you could maybe ask something once, but seeking involves ongoing looking, right? The word seek. And likewise to knock. Knocking involves some persistence, you know. Right? You don't just go, right? And then, well, I know they're in there, I can hear them. And you stay at it. What? They finally pull open the door. What? But the Lord gives us these images. So yes, God knows what we need. We don't always need to multiply words. But God says, but sometimes you ought to stay with me in a longer conversation. That conversation we call prayer. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. Bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, O sweet, sweet hour of prayer. Amen.